Today's talk is going to be focused around the concept of love your enemies. Our anchor verse is going to be from Luke chapter 6, 27 to 31. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can remember a time that when I was growing up, there was always a group of people in the neighborhood who pretty much didn't care about anybody. They would consistently wait every single day for somebody to get out of school or just to be walking about in the neighborhood, just to go up to them and start to pick fights with them. Most of the times it would be for no apparent reason whatsoever. Other times it would be for something legitimate. Growing up in my neighborhood, fighting was a constant thing. On one side of the street, you had one crew. Two blocks over, you'd have another crew. And if one person didn't like the other from each, you could bet at some point, most of the times after school, there would be a fight. Getting jumped, as we always called it, was a constant thing growing up. And unfortunately, I will say that I stupidly partook in a lot of those activities. A lot of the times it was just to fit in with friends, other times it was legitimate beef. But there would always be that one person that would stick out in the crowd, that would stick out in the group. You can call this person the orchestrator. Everybody at some point in their life has had their arch nemesis. And I, of course, had mine. It got so bad between the two of us that at times the police had to get called. We would have to bust up the fights. And a lot of, family relations got into the mix. It was never really a pretty thing. The one day things went pretty much over the edge for us. My arch nemesis decided to bring my mother into the situation. This person started antagonizing her in the neighborhood just to get at me. Just to draw me out, to get me out, to come out of wherever I was, just to fight. So one day it got so bad that I went looking for him with a bat. You can imagine what my goal was, what my intention was. It wasn't going to be nice about it because this person harmed her. And unfortunately, I was stopped dead in my tracks from doing it. It was from the most unlikely person of all, my mother. I couldn't believe at the time that I was being held back from avenging her. It was communicated to me from her that the repercussions of what I would do and of my actions would be far worse than any name that could ever be lobbed or thrown at her. And I begrudgingly backed off. It eventually came to an end when he was put in jail. And it wasn't because of our history. It was because of the things that he had gotten himself into that he shouldn't have been in at the time, and he suffered the consequences for his actions. I was asked some years later if I would ever forgive him for what he did. And at the time, it was a resounding no. I said to myself, how could I forgive such an evil individual who would put somebody through such pain? And it wasn't until some time later when I started reading scripture more and when I came more into a realization of my faith that it was something that unfortunately I would have to do. I would have to forgive him at some point. I bring this up because as Christ was being crucified, he showed compassion for the individuals that put him through what he was being put through. Loving my enemy was something that I didn't think I could do. And I venture to ask you this question, could you? love your enemy at that point. Scripture says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. I could say that if you're looking for a religion where it's just pretty easygoing, hunky-dory, you don't have to make any radical choices in life, Christianity is not for you. To follow Jesus is to completely empty yourself of everything and do as he commands. To hear Jesus say to love your enemies and to bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you is a very harsh reality. Because when you get right down to it, are we that really truly capable of loving our enemies? Do we really deep down inside want to bless those who curse us, either to our faces or behind our backs? That answer is no. Just no. Our first inclination, obviously, yeah, is to strike back. Our first inclination is to give it as good as we can take it. I mean, who wouldn't want to? Who would not want to exact revenge upon those who are causing affliction to you? Or to your loved ones? These are all natural feelings and inclinations we have, and sometimes it's unavoidable. As we read in Scripture, Christ did the exact opposite. Jesus did the exact opposite through his ministry than as he was being crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, were the words he cried to the Father as he lay on the cross. And for me, that was a compassion that he had for those who would be his enemies. And it's that same compassion that he calls us to have with our own enemies, with the people in our lives that curse us, with the people in our lives that cause us pain. And I know it doesn't always seem like the best way, and sometimes it's downright hard to do. But following Jesus, he's the blueprint. He's the blueprint that we must follow with our very being. It's not always easy to turn the other cheek. It's not always easy to love your enemies, but in the end, we must never stoop to the level of the other person who has wronged us. And we need to be better than that. We need to follow Christ's examples in those matters. We need to be the embodiment of what he represents, what he commands us to do in love to other people. I have a quote that I'd like to read to you guys, and I want you guys to at least think about it and what its implications could be. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. And only love can do that. Those words were written and spoken by Dr. Martin Luther King in his sermon in 1957. And without going into his full history, Dr. King, we all know who he was and what he stood for and what he did. And I venture to say, because of what he represented, and not to get into the whole racial relations back in the day, For his beliefs, I would say, he was martyred for those. Dr. King understood this passage from the Sermon on the Mount very well. Dr. King, I would venture to say, is the embodiment of that with everything he fought for and everything he endured. So what does loving your enemies look like? How can we, as Christians and as disciples, follow and apply Jesus' teachings to our lives when it comes to the persons and the situations where it would call for us to, in fact, love our enemies? I would first say that it starts with inside of us. We do need to do a self-examination of ourselves. We need to look at the situation as it is. What was it that this person did to us that made us hate them? That would literally make us not show any type of kindness towards them. I can say from my own standpoint that it took a very long time for me to forgive and let go. And I can say with certainty that that's pretty much the thing with everybody everywhere. It's not easy to give up and let go of the things that have happened to us in the past. Very hard. The key word there, though, is to forgive. I have a good friend of mine that always says to me that, you know, one of these days with a lot of the things that are going on, you're going to have to just swallow that headache pill. And unfortunately, forgiveness can be one of those headache pills that we have to swallow in life. And only true healing can come from forgiveness. And again, as Jesus was on the cross, he asked the Father to forgive them, for they not know what they do. And the same goes with Stephen in the book of Acts, as he was being stoned to death. He cried out to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." So tell me something. If somebody was sitting there throwing rocks at you, no matter what it is, the sole intention of killing you, would you even remotely consider crying out to God, asking him not to hold such a horrible sin against that person as you lay there? That would be the farthest thing from anybody's mind. And why was Stephen able to do this? Because Stephen had an inward change within himself. Stephen's life was transformed. Stephen was full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. Hearing something like that could be a really swift, you know, really swift bat. Because basically, in not so many words, it's saying that you have the Spirit dwelling within you. You have that inward change. That can only happen when a person truly comes into the faith. And as we read in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 to 47, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive the others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." That's kind of rough to hear, because it's, you know, not in so many words. It's basically saying that, you know, the forgiveness that you receive is also tied to the forgiveness that you give others. So what does that say? To be truly forgiven by God is for you to forgive other people their trespasses against you. That's really a tough one, because a lot of us have gone through our own individual hurts in life. And that could be, what if you were cheated on? What if you were abused as a child or in your adult life? What could that abuse look like? Could it be physical? Could it be emotional? Could it be psychological? So I would honestly say that, yeah, in order to love your enemies, forgiveness does play a huge part. And we have to learn to let go of the things that have burdened us in order to move forward and push past. And this could be rough, again. I hate to break that news, but yeah, we have to forgive those who have hurt us in order to truly move on. What does loving your neighbor look like? Who is our neighbor? Surface, it could be the person living next door, right? But in any event, everybody, like we, us. You know, I want to honestly say that it took a long time for me to let go of the things that happened in the past with my arch nemesis. And for those of you who know, like I was saying earlier during the study, you know, I would be a liar if I didn't say that, you know, I didn't hold that for a long time. And a lot of old feelings for this individual surfaced when my mother passed away in 2007. And it's always during that time when death happens for a person, when a lot of the old resentments and old feelings come up. Every good that's happened, every bad that's happened. Question is, have you forgiven yourself to move forward in those things? And there was a part that wanted to go out and find him. And it wasn't just to be nice about it, because it's like, okay, but no. But I still keep in my mind that what she told me when she was alive, that it's not worth it. You cannot return the hate for hate, because it's a bad mixture in life for people. And that can lead you down a path where some people never come back from. Now, a few years ago, he and I actually did finally cross paths. And, interestingly enough to say, me and him had a heart-to-heart conversation about everything. And we spoke about a lot of the things that went on. And I came to find out that he had some really horrible things happening to him at home. And it contributed to the way he was and how he presented himself out in the streets. And why he was doing some of the things that he was doing. And it made me see that there were other factors contributing to him and how he was. And safe to say that I forgave him for what he did and for everything that ever gone on, that we squashed any further issues with each other. And now we actually speak. We're on good terms with each other, which is kind of a shock. So my enemy is now my friend.
Amen.
When Jesus says to love your enemies, just know that in order to truly do so, we must have compassion, and we must know that we have to forgive those same people who we call our enemy in order to move on forward and push through in life. And that was the end of my sermon.